ಗಿರಿಗುರಾಮಹೋರಾಧಿಕಮಧಾಮ ಪ್ರಾಪ್ತಯಶ ಪ್ರತಿಥಗ್ರೀಭಯ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುಂ ತನ್ನತಶ್ಮಿ ವಂಶಕಲ್ಪತರೂಪ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯೈವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನ್ ಭವಾನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯ ನಮೋ ನಿಖಿಲಾಶ್ರುತಿ ಮೌಲಿರತ್ನಮಾಲಭಿತೆ ನಿರಾಜಿತಾ ಪದಪಂಕಜಂತ ಅಜಿ ಮುಕ್ತಕುಲೈರುಪಶ್ಯಾಮನಂ ಪರಿತಷ್ಟಂ ಹರಿನಾಮ ಸಂಶ್ರಯಾಮಿ ಅನಾರೇಪಿತಚರಿಂ ಚಿರಾತ್ಕರುಣಯಾವತರುಣಾಕಲಹ ಕ್ಷಮಾರ್ಪಯಿತಮುನ್ನತಜ್ವಲರಾಸನ್ ಸುಭಕ್ತಿಶ್ರಿಯಂ ಹರಿ ಪುರತಸುಂದರಾದಿಯುತಿಕದಾಂಬಸಂದೀಪಿತಃ ಸದಾರಿದಯೇಖಾಂದರೇ ಸ್ಫುರತೋ ವಾಸಚಿನಂದನಃ ಜಾನುಲಂಬಿತಾ ಭುಜೋ ಕನಕಾವದತೋ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನೈಕವಿತರೋ ಕಮಲಾಯತಕ್ಷುಲೋ ವಿಶ್ವಂಬರೋ ದ್ವಿಯಾವರೋ ಜುಗಧಾರ್ಮಪಾಲೋ ವಂದೇ ಜಗತ್ಪ್ರಿಯಕರೋ ಕರುಣಾವತಾರೋ ಲಾಗಿನಿ ಶಕ್ತಿ ಸ್ವರೂಪಾಯ ಗೌರಂಗ ಸುಹೃದಾಯ ಚ ಭಕ್ತ ಶಕ್ತಿ ಪ್ರದನಾಯ ಗದಾಧರ ನಮಸ್ತುತೇ ನಿಲಂಬೋದಿತತೆ ಸದಾಸವಿರಹ ಕ್ಷೇಪಾನ್ವಿತಂ ಬಾಂಧವಂ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಿ ಕಥಾ ಮದಿರಯ ಸಂಜೀವಯಂ ಭಾತಿಯ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಸದಾಸ್ವನಾಯನ ಅಶ್ರುಪಾಯನೈ ಪೂಜಯಂ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮೀ ಪ್ರವರೋ ಗದಾಧರ ವಿಭೋರ್ ಭೂಯಾತ್ಮದೇಕಗತಿ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧೋ ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪೀಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾ ಕಾಂತ ರಾಧೆ ಬೃಂದವನಾಧೀಶೆ ಕರುಣಮೃತ ವಾಹಿನಿ ಕೃಪಯಾ ನಿಜ ಪಾದಬ್ಜಾದಸ್ಯನ್ಮಯಂ ಪ್ರದೀಯತಂ ತವೈವ ಸ್ಮಿ ನಾಜೀವಮಿತ್ವಯಾ ವಿನಾ ಇತಿ ವಿಜ್ಞಾಯ ದೇವಿ ತ್ವಂ ರಾಧೆ ತ್ವಂ ನಾಯನಂ ಚರಣಾಂತಿಕಂ ಭುಜಾಮಿ ರಾಧಂ ಅರವಿಂದನೇತ್ರಂ ವದಾಮಿ ರಾಧಂ ಸ್ಮಿತಾಸ್ಯಂ ವದಾಮಿ ರಾಧಂ ಕರುಣಾರ್ಭರಾರ್ದ್ರಂ ತದೋ ಮಾನ್ಯಸ್ತಿವತಿರ್ನ ಕಾಪಿ ಭಕ್ತ್ಯಾ ವಿಹೀನಾಯ ಅಪರಾಧಲಕ್ಷಯ ಚಿರತಾಶಕಮಾದಿತರಂಗಮಾದಿ ಕೃಪಾಮಯಿ ತ್ವಂ ಶರಣಂ ಪ್ರಪಾನಂ ವೃಂದೇ ನಮಸ್ತೇ ಶರಣಾರವಿಂದಂ ವೃಂದೇ ನಮಸ್ತೇ ಶರಣಾರವಿಂದಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಸಚ್ಚಿನಂದನ್ ಗೌಡ ಹರಿ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌಡ ಗದಾಧರ ಜೀವ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ ವೀರ್ ಬಾಬ್ ಮಹೋತ್ಸವ ತೀರ್ಥ ಶ್ರೀ ಗದಾಧರ ಪಂಡಿತ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಗದಾಧರ ಪಂಡಿತ್ ಗೋಸಾಯಿ ಮಹಾಶಯ ಕೀ
ಜಯ
ಗೌಡ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ ಕೀ ಗೌಡ ಪ್ರೇಮಾ Welcome to all of you, Pranam. I'm very blessed to be here in this place, in this moment, in this company. All the ingredients are in place. I'm celebrating with my, I don't know if humble opinion, but bold opinion, is the most important day of the year in our Vaishnava calendar. So I've been saying that for a few years, and I'm trying to instill that in the Gaudiya community, like you have to celebrate this in the proper way, but at the same time it's the most rahasya, confidential, secret day, so it's good that it's kept where it has to be, so to say, you know? Like Krishna says in the Bhagavatam too, the paroksham mama cha priyam. I like indirect speech. I like secret language. I like when most confidential truths are said implicitly but not explicitly, because ultimately that's the language of reality, which is love. Mm-hmm. The pinnacle of love is romantic love, which is full of poetry and full of nuance and indirect speech. And Krishna says, of all speech, I'm very fond on those things that will only be understood by those who have the ears to listen and the eyes to see. Paroksha vada. So Gadadhar is in one sense very much into this. She's Sri Radha. He is Sri Radha. She is Sri Radha. In Gaur Lila, Sri Radha is the ultimate embodiment of love, the highest pinnacle of love, Mahabhav Swarupini. And the highest pinnacle of love is that which is expressed indirectly. So no wonder that Gadadhar Pandit is the most, as we will see, important figure of the most important Leela, and at the same time is the one who is spoken the least. Oh, it's perfect arrangement. So sometimes I get a little passionate, like, hey, you have to celebrate that in a bigger way, but immediately I realize, no, it's okay. That's the perfect arrangement. This is it. Right? So in the same way, like, in the Bhagavatam, we hear, okay, the whole Bhagavatam is all about Sri Radha's love for Krishna. You don't need even to open page one. You just need to pay attention to the title of the book, Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Bhagavatam is about the Mada of Sri for Bhagavan. Mada means madness. Sri is the name of Radha. So Srimad, the whole book is about Srimad, about her madness of in love for Bhagavan. So just the title is giving you the hint in Parokshabad, again. And then you open the book, and you will, okay, if that's what the book is about, you open the book and you expect her name will be mentioned here and there, and she will be explicitly shown, not a single direct mention of her. But indirectly, she's basically pervading every pore and in between the lines of each syllable and word of the whole Bhagavatam. So that's how love operates, no? In a paradoxical way, in an apparently contradictory way, and that's the password for us to enter. That you want to survive the realm of love, you have to coexist with multiple paradoxes simultaneously, all at once, integrating them. Mm-hmm. Paradox is what holds the most truth, mm-hmm. basically. So again, in the Bhagavatam, the name of Radha is not present at all, and she's only present in every syllable there. That's how it works. Indirectly, she's there everywhere. Directly, she's nowhere. And the same applies then by extension. If that's the case for Sri Radha in Bhagavatam, in Krishna Leela's description, same principle applies to Gadadhar Pandit, Sri Radha, in Gaur Leela's description. You go through all the main biographies, hagiographies of Sri Chaitanya Dev, and Gadadhar Pandit is not much mentioned. But properly understood, we'll see Gadadhar Pandit is the most crucial figure for the Gaur Leela to be successful as a project, so to say, a project with certain intention in mind. Without Gadadhar Pandit, Gaur Leela is a failure, basically. But he is the last of the, at least from the five members of the Panchatattva, we could say the less mentioned. We could say the most important. Of course, at the same time, for the context of properly honor Tattva Ras and each member of the Panchatattva, we could speak and we should about each one of the five members of the Panchatattva is the most important in their particular occasion. I remember when we were in Colombia for Nityananda Trayodasi, and I said exactly the same thing. And now we'll speak about Nityananda Prabhu as the most important member of the Panchatattva. And Gaur Purnima, let's speak about Mahaprabhu. Although I was tempted, and I would talk about Gadadhar. And today's Gadadhar Pandit, no. But we could talk about each of them. We could talk about Advaita Acharya, by whose intervention and call and divine compassion Mahaprabhu's Leela unfolded here. Srivas Pandit representing the ultimate potential of the Jiva, and in that way showing us all that we can be, and so on and so forth. Each member can be considered the most important in their own right. But if I have to consider my subjective feelings, I have the most important of the five in my list is Gadadhar Pandit. So today we are celebrating his appearance, and again trying to understand how Gadadhar Pandit's appearance is and the contribution of Sri Gaudiya in the context of Gaur Lila is crucial, not only for the Gaur Lila to unfold and be successful, but for us to be here today. No, because in one sense here, we are a byproduct of Mahaprabhu's mercy and Sankirtan movement, and all that comes in the context of Gaur Lila. But there will be no Gaur Lila without Gadadhar Pandit. So in other words, you owe your devotional life to Gadadhar Pandit. We owe. And I think it's a proper way to understand and glorify not only Gadadhar Pandit, but each of these personalities, to the way that you conclude, I owe my life to this person. And I owe my life to that other person. And you realize, I'm considerably indebted for eternity with this parade of personalities. But that debt is the only debt that will save us from karmic debts of all sorts. No? The only way to be saved from that debt is to acquire higher debt with the higher departments, so to say. So we are celebrating that today. We are celebrating the debt that we have acquired with a personality like Pandit Gosai Sri Gadadhar Prabhu. So where to start? That was just a warming up. Yeah. Gadadhar Prabhu. Okay. Where to start, huh? Each one is drowning in their own ocean, so to say. What to do. Yeah. Well, in Chaitanya Charitamrita we hear how Krishna himself, to the inspired pen of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, says, Radhikar Prema Guru Amishishya Nata. That's a very, again, one of those bold lines of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, and by extension by Krishna himself. Radhikar Prema Guru Amishishya Nata. So the Prema of Sri Radha is my Guru, and I, Krishna, say I'm a student in her dancing school. His Prema Natya. Vidyalaya, so to say, her school of dancing. So her Prem, or herself, because she is the personification of Prem, is my guru. Krishna is a student in Radha's school of love. And of course, again, same principle pervades a lila like Gaur Lila, which is the natural extension, the natural further blossoming of Krishna lila, in which Sri Radha's Gadadhar is the guru of Mahaprabhu in so many ways, on a daily basis teaching Bhagavatam and trying to give Mahaprabhu those bhakti samskars that he needs to acquire in order to be successful in his mission. Here we have Krishna, God, Purushottam, as we know, trying to dismiss his Purushottam bhav, his Purusha bhav, and trying to acquire not only Prakriti bhav, but Paraprakriti bhav. Teaching us that important lesson also. God himself saying, the goal of life is not to be God. For me, that's even a burden. I'm trying to put that on the side and enter into the mood of an unconditional giver. So, Gadadhar Pandit is basically Sri Radha entering in that unique mood to serve that unique necessity that her beloved, her Prananath has in that particular lila. No, every lila implies a necessity of service, basically. Because lila means the interaction of love between Bhagavan and Bhakta, between God and his devotee. When we say lila, okay, we say pastime, we say play, but what's going on is there is some type of love which is being exchanged between God and his devotees. And love creates its own necessities. So every lila implies a certain type of love, which means every lila implies a certain type of necessity out of love that needs to be served and attended and nourished. Ram lila, Krishna lila, Gaur lila, in all of them there is a loving interaction, and love creates its own necessities. Love is its own reward, but love is its own necessity, so to say. The word prayojan, you say prem prayojan. Prayojan means attainment. And prayojan means also necessity in Sanskrit. So prem prayojan means prem is the ultimate attainment, but also we say prem is the ultimate necessity. Not only I need prem, but once I acquire prem, it creates its own necessities. It's not that I attain prem and there's no more necessity and everyone becomes atmaram or self-satisfied. At least not for us in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. In some other lineages, we may project, okay, Vaikuntha, some other more, so to say, peaceful realms. Narayan is Atmaram, self-satisfied. He doesn't need that much. That's why most of the devotees are in Shantarasa, which means I'm, no, in a passive way, beatific contemplation of God's greatness. But I'm not serving him. There are some dasya, so there is some service, but generally many of the dasya is out of duty. Oh, Narayan is Bhagavan, he's God, he ought to be served. He deserves to be served.
Yes.
But not so much Narayan is in desperate need and I need to save his life on a daily basis, which is what happens in Lord Vrindavan. Krishna every single day, scheduled many times per day, in separation of Sri Radha and some other dynamics, he's about to die. Reaching the latest stage of separation called mriti, which is, means death, or death-like experience. And by the miraculous arrangement of Sri Yogamaya, we insignificant ones in the Leela will have the chance of saving the life of God on a daily basis. Because Krishna is about to die, and it's an urgent necessity. Sri Radha is about to die correspondingly, and someone needs to be there to console, to support, to give hope, to recite the proper words, to make the proper arrangements. It's a whole constellation of service revolving around we have to save the life of Radha and Krishna on a daily basis. That's way different from Atmaram, Narayan in Vaikuntha. No? You follow my point? So there are necessities which come out of love. The more you love, the more necessity. We think we have necessities now. Wait until you arrive to Prem. Then you discover the meaning of the word necessity. Sometimes we think we know we suffer now. Wait till you achieve from divine love. Then you will understand the real meaning of the word pain. There is pain and suffering, but in its proper context. No? Suffering in the context of love. Whatever happens in the context of love, that's legal, so to say. That's perfect. That's a blessing. Our problem is that we're experiencing all these decontextualized emotions out of the context of love. Joy, enjoyment, pleasure, pain, whatever, but outside the perimeter of love. So whatever we experience is a drowning stuff. No? But whatever happens in the perimeter of love is blissful, even suffering. Bahya bisya jalahoy bitare anandamoy Krishna premir adbhuta charit, says Krishna Das Kaviraj. Which means, on the outside, Krishna prems seems like poison. Bahya bisya jala, on the inside, is nectar. In separation, it seems everyone is dying. But internally, that's full of sweetness. There is sweetness in suffering. That's Krishna Premer Adhuta Charit. That's the astonishing, paradoxical qualities of divine love. So why I'm saying all this? Because in Krishna Leela, again, Krishna is not so much Atmaram, but Pararam, in the words of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Pararam is divinely dissatisfied. He's on some level, on some lower level, he's Atmaram. He's self-satisfied. All his needs are met. On a higher level, he's dissatisfied out of love. Not out of anything else, but love creates its own necessities. And the necessities of love is further love. Love's thirst never quenches, they say. So it's always demanding for more. Always demanding for more. Because that's the potential of love, ever-evolving, unfolding dynamics forever. That's why the Leela can go on 24/7 for eternity. If love wouldn't be an ever-evolving reality, after 1-2 days, everyone's boring in the Leela. No? This Astakaliya Leela stuff, every time the same day doing something similar, if love wouldn't be always new, always fresh, the whole Leela will be a failure again. So the reality of love is always growing and expanding, and that means creates a necessity for greater expression, greater sharing, greater depths, greater breadths. So Krishna is in need, and as we know, in the particular case of Gaur Leela, Sri Krishna appearing as Mahaprabhu, he has a very, very specific need. So the more specific is our conception and description of God, the more specific will be the need he will have and the service we can offer. You follow me, Paul? In some tradition, there is not even an idea of God. It's like, there is God, and who is God? God. And what is he doing? God. Who will be there? God, sometimes they will say in some tradition. But in many cases we don't know what he's doing, what's the dynamic, so we cannot like conceive, project some identity of service, because we are not even aware that God has necessities. As I say, you have an idea like Narayan in Vaikuntha. Okay, some idea of service is there, some level of necessity, some degree of dasya, and so on and so forth. When we reach Krishna in Vrindavan, then we have full-fledged, on some level, necessity of service. And then you have Santa Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya, and all these varieties, because all these varieties of love indicate also the need of service he's having, the thirst he's having. And in Gaur Lila, he has, again, a very specific need of service. In Braja Lila, Sri Radha is there to satisfy every particular need that her Prananath has in whatever form, as she says beautifully in the Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explanation of Sikshastakam, last verse. She says, Krishna's happiness is the goal of my life. Whatever that is, whatever needs to take place for him to be happy, that's my prayojan. That's my necessity. Whatever he needs, I need. Whatever is his necessity, I totally identify with that and becomes my necessity. I don't have a sense of necessity separated from him. In that sense, she's personification of tadatmya, this principle of mystical empathy or identification. That's the mood of Sri Radha, what Rupa Goswami will call anukul, in his definition of bhakti. Anyavilasita sunyam jnana karmadina vitam anukul yena krishna anusilana bhakti. Her mood is whatever is favorable for Krishna. Whatever need Krishna has at this particular point, whatever is my role in facilitating that, fulfilling that, I'm ready to do that. If that implies, as we will hear so many verses, pulling out everyone else to the side and she taking the prime role, or hiding behind the curtains, disappearing, embracing Krishna, escaping from his embrace, whatever is more favorable for Krishna's happiness in that precise moment, she only lives for that. Unconditionally. So that's her mood. Sri Radha doesn't have a mood of her own. It's personal. Her mood is whatever Krishna requires. He appears as Ram, Sita is there, Radha is there as Sita facilitating that mood, and so on. Because again, every mood, every lila has a necessity. There is a necessity of service. They need to receive service, and we need to offer service. That's the beauty. We need to serve them. They need to be served. They need service. The nature of love, the arrangement of Yoga Maya is Radha and Krishna in the different lilas, they need service. And we need to serve. So necessity in both sides. So we are a needy tradition, right? We have no problem with that. There's a place for neediness in transcendence, a healthy expression of that, right? So Sri Radha in Braja Lila, of course, she's already doing that. And Gaur Lila, which is an eternal reality, the red phone. So in Gaur Lila, Krishna is taking it to another step, to another level, as we know. In Krishna Lila, there is some desires that Krishna cannot satisfy. Krishna is known as Rasa Raj, the king of Rasa, Rasik Sekar, Rasik Mohan, and so on. But technically speaking, I will say that his Rasa Raj Twa, his being Rasa Raj, becomes fulfilled in Gaur Lila. Because in Krishna Lila, there is some experience that he doesn't have. And for that, Gaur Lila becomes a necessity. And that's why Krishna can justify his title as Rasa Raj. Before Gaur Lila, it's like, we love you, Krishna, everything is fine. But Mahaprabhu is Rasa Raj in every sense of the term. He experiences what he couldn't experience in Krishna Lila. So, again, in Gaur Lila, there are different experiences, and as remember, Tamal also mentioned when we gave our lecture a few months ago, what's Gaur Purnima all about. There are different perspectives and ways to talk about this, and I'm not giving here the one and only approach to this whole thing. It's just one point in an infinite circle of approaches, just to make that clear. But Bhagavan Sri Krishna wants to taste Radha Bab, wants to somehow try to pay back the love of Sri Radha by emphasizing with her mood, by praying, by preaching her glories and so on. So Sri Radha takes the form of Gadadhar Padma, no? To facilitate that. Sometimes we hear Mahaprabhu's Radha and Krishna combined, and yes, but in a certain way, in a dynamic way, not in every sense of the term. Because if not, Gadadhar Pandit will be left out of the picture, and we don't want that to happen. So when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur will say, Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahanya Rupa Nuga Jane Rajivana, he says, the life and soul of the followers of Rupa Goswami is to speak in which way Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna combined. Not only to say Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna combined, but to elaborate in which sense he is Radha and Krishna combined, and in which sense he is not, which opens the discussion for Gadadhar Pandit, so to say. And this is, of course, Chaitanya Charitamrita makes it very clear. Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalitam Nami Krishna Swarupam. Mahaprabhu is Krishna, embracing the inner heart and the outer halo of Radha, but it's Krishna, having that experience. So Radha remains there as Gadadhar, giving himself, herself, in absolute empathy, in absolute service, emptying, so to say, her, how to say, treasure trove for Krishna to be successful as Mahaprabhu. Gadadhar is Sri Radha in a total state of emptiness. But that emptiness, properly understood, represents the topmost fullness, topmost giving. Srila Siddhar Maharaj will always poetically describe the appearance of Gadadhar Pandit in astrological terms in connection to Krishna, Radha and Mahaprabhu. He will say, Sri Krishna appears on a day of half moon, Astami, Janmastami. Sri Radha appears on another half moon, Radhastami. When you put the two half moons together, you have full moon, Mahaprabhu appears on Gopurnim. Radha and Krishna combine in a certain way. But that's not the end of the explanation. Now comes, and when Gadadhar Pandit appears, Amavasya, which means new moon, which means no moon at all. No? So Mahaprabhu appears in all its shyness and brightness, and Gadadhar appears in an empty, quote unquote empty day, in the hottest season of the year. Both his, Gadadhar Pandit's appearance and disappearance, which is in 2 months, happen on Amavasya, no moon, and on the hottest season of the year, implying the fire in which Sri Radha is willing to enter, to give herself fully, to empty herself, to empty the moon of her heart so much, so Mahaprabhu can be the full moon. So Mahaprabhu can be shining. And of course, again, with an parokshabad mentality, understanding how things work indirectly, the one who is more empty is the one who is more full. If we properly understand, when Mahaprabhu is bathing himself in the glory of tasting Radha Bab in the heights of his Leela, if you properly understand, you will look back at where Gadadhar Pandit is in Tota Gopinath behind the curtain and realize that's the greatest glory. You forgot about Mahaprabhu in one sense. In one sense, of course. And it's like, here is the actual active principle which is facilitating everything else. But Gadadhar, Sri Radha, love personified, is humble by nature. Sanatana Goswami says, Dhanya and Prema are the same thing. One is the cause and effect of the other. Humility and love walk together. So you must conclude the personification of love must be the personification of humility as well. So the love of Radha, the love of Gadadhar is humble extremely by nature. So Gadadhar here, it is giving her all the love so Mahaprabhu can be successful, but totally disappearing behind the curtain, not wanting to take any spotlight. All spotlight to Mahaprabhu and his success in Gaur Lila. And everyone maybe not speak about Gadadhar, not mention in the biographies, but again, for those who have the eyes to see, they will be looking in that direction and understanding the bigger picture of Gaur Lila. So we are celebrating that today, no? The idea of the fullness of Patnit Gadadhar in his emptying himself. In Christianity they have this term kenosis in Greek, kenosis, which means in one of the meanings.
Kenosis or kenosis?
Kenosis. I don't know if in English you pronounce kenosis. I go with my Spanish pronunciation of the letters, but kenosis. It's with K, yeah. Kenosis, which means one of the meanings is self-emptying. No? Sometimes this term is used in Christianity in terms of God empties himself, and the result of that is material creation. But also we can use that in this case as well, of Sri Radha's Gadadhar emptying the content of her heart gradually in sustainable installments, so Krishna can gradually taste her bath a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, and finally become successful at the end of his leela on earth. That's how it's depicted by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. At the very end of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, last chapter is Sikshastakam, and when comes the last verse of Sikshastakam, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Mahaprabhu is reciting this, but he says this verse was spoken by Radha, which is another way of saying Mahaprabhu has been successful in becoming Radha, so to say, in tasting Radha Bhava form. No, he is successful, and that's the end of Chaitanya Charitamrita and Gaura Lila. So that, of course, at the same time, we will say this tasting goes on forever. There's something called Nitya Navadvip, and both Gaura Gadadhara are there, and Mahaprabhu continues tasting Radha Bhava, because Radha Bhava is a bottomless ocean. So you can never be fully tasting it. No? That there is no end to that. But somehow or other, Gadadhar Pandit is highlighted as the facilitator of Gaura Lila, so to say. Nowadays you hear this word. Here's the facilitator to this event. He's facilitating this meeting, this seminar, this retreat. Okay. In the project called Gaura Lila, there is a prime facilitator. That's Gadadhar Pandit, right? And by whose grace, Mahaprabhu becomes a facilitator in its own way, and then Nityananda Prabhu is a facilitator of what Mahaprabhu, and we are benefited from that chain of facilitation. But in one sense, it all begins with Gadadhar, two extended hands given all his bhav to Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu is known as Mahavadanja Avatar, the most merciful descent. But he's the most merciful because Radha, as Gadadhar, is the most merciful. Mahaprabhu is Krishna in his most merciful disposition because Gadadhar is Radha in her most merciful disposition. Follow my point? That's why I like
him. He's the most merciful because he's under her influence.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly, basically. Karunamai Shri Radha. So in that way, as Mahaprabhu himself is, I like to say Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Krishna. Sri Radha is the Supreme Personality of the Goddess. And Gadadhar is the Supreme Personality of Radha. So in Gaura Lila we have the Supreme. No? Supreme means lots of Prem are there. Supreme. Like you say, Sudurlava.
Supreme.
Supreme. There's lots of prem going on. Yeah. So you are the
But what a big love.
Thank you. So you can establish who is the supreme according to the degree of how much prem is there. Supreme. So Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Mahaprabhu is Supreme Personality of the Supreme Personality. And Gadadhar, of course, again, is appearing in a corresponding way and mood to match that supremacy, so to say, that overflowing of love that is going on in Gaura Lila. And again, the extension of all that, the facilitation of that Gadadhar is facilitating to Mahaprabhu, and the extension of that gift that Mahaprabhu is giving to the world. We are here the benefited ones, not the beneficiaries. Thank you. So going back to that idea, we are a byproduct of Gadadhar's facilitation, which turns on the Gaura Lila, so to say, project, gives its success, and extends itself to us on a day like today. So, a few words I want to share. I don't want to go longer than that. But these are some of a few reasons why, for me, in my personal opinion, a day like today is the most important day of the Vaishnava calendar. I hope I was able to convince you about that. I hope my cost remains intact. Not for you to go and try to convince everyone else, remember? We have to keep it. But You have to be convinced. You, the ones who are here, have to be convinced that today something very special actually is going on. More special than what we can imagine and can see. But anyhow, a few words. In offering a service to Sri Gadadhar Pandit Ki Jai, Hare Bab Mahotsav Titi Sri Pandit Gosai Gadadhar Prabhu Ki Jai, Sri Sri Gaur Gadadhar Ju Ki Jai, Gadai Nimai Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Govind Ju Ki Jai, Radha Madhav Ki Jai, Gaur Hari
Hari.
Did I go too long?
No.
I don't have this time without screen. I don't have an idea of timing.
The only temporal concern in my mind is that sometimes people don't want to eat late. Weird. Sometimes stretch our schedule. We won't go too long. No? I promise. Just a few things I want to add. Also, like you made a cake, and I want to put some
the icing,
some frosting.
It's been flowers.
It's been nice.
Om Gyanat Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Radhikaya Priyatmane Shri Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Narayani Dinamine Gadadhara Shaktya Veshamuna To Jalachandrika Ragamarga Jagat Guru Bande Gaur Narayana Vancha Kalpatal Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Advaita Prakati Krita Narahari Prashta Swarupa Priyo Nityananda Saka Sanatana Gati Shri Rupa Hriketana Lakshmi Pranapatir Gadadhara Raso Lasi Jagannathabhu Sango Panga Saparshadaya Sadayatam Deva Sachinandanaha. Hanta hanta paramo sarachit bhuma vyarti bhavanti mama sadhana kotayopi sarvatmana tadahamadbhuta bhakti bijam Shri Gaura Chandra Charanam Sharanam Karomi Chaitanya Chandra Charanam Sharanam Karomi Chaitanya Chandra Charanam Sharanam Karomi Karunaika Maranda Padma Charanam Chaitanya Chandra Dutim Tambularpana Bangi Dakshinakaram Sayedambaram Sarvaram Premananda Sukham Sadasmitamukam Shri Gaura Chandrakshanam Dhyayet Shri Lagadadharam Dvijavaram Madhuri Bhushojalam Srimad Sivananda Manoratabhyam Sadasukananda Rasaspurabhyam Madhya Sarvasva Padambujabhyam Namostume Gauragadadharabhyam Madhya Sarvasva Padambujabhyam Namostume Gauragadadharabhyam Makeshwari, Kriyeshwari, Swadeshwari, Sureshwari, Trivaira Bharateshwari, Pramana Shashaneshwari, Rameshwari, Chameshwari, Pramodakananeshwari, Brajeshwari, Brajadike, Shri Radhike, Namostute, Brajeshwari, Brajadike, Shri Radhike Namostute Gatir me Radhika Gadadharam Gripadma Sevaya Gatir me Radhika Gadadharam Gripadma Sevaya. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'm a little soft-spoken. Is it okay if we turn off the air for a minute? So, Radhisha, just want first of all to say thank you so much for coming. Everyone bringing heaps and mountains of flowers and so much beautiful kirtan and Maharaj's wondrous, encompassing katha. And, you know, it's kind of like a bhajan ashram, I mean, minus the bhajan. It's kind of like a hermitage, and when the devotees come and gather in front of Thakurji, it's very special. It's very rare and special, and they're easily pleased, and I'm really grateful that by your presence this festival can be successful. Just being here is enough. Their hearts are more simple than anyone's mind can understand, and they're just happy to see you. To speak of the mountains of flowers and the singing of the holy name. I'm trying to consider what is this suprema, good love. So, Hare Krishna. I didn't really have time to think today, which might be good or might be a train wreck of a mess. Just kind of scatterbrained when people are coming over and there's stuff to do and didn't really get to drop in. But one thing, when Marsh was speaking, kind of couple brain cells rubbed together and made a spark, and felt to share something that I think about sometimes. You know, starting from the beginning, you know, Maharaj is saying that the root of our good fortune is the Gaura Lila has occurred, Sankirtan, Bhakti Yoga, this renaissance of love yoga, of divine love of God through kirtan. It's all coming back. The fountain is from Gauranga, and Gauranga is facilitated by Sri Radha Gadadha. So if we trace it out, the hidden root of all good fortune is Sri Radha Gadadha. The beginning, the quiet, humble beginning of the Renaissance, revolution. And so it corresponds to like how the day begins. You know, every day is like a little microcosm. It starts sprouting, like if you put a seed in the dark earth, it will grow up into the daylight. So how we start our Mangalarti, our early morning time in the starlight in the morning, what we sing, what we cry, what we pray at that time is putting a seed of blessing for the day. And the first thing that we always sing, you know, as Maharaj was saying, Radhika Premir Guru, Krishna is saying, Radhika, her love is my guru. And Krishna's famous as Jagat Guru. So if Krishna, if God is the guru of everyone, the guide of everyone, the deliverer and savior of everyone, and Sri Radha, who is love, is his guru, that means actually originally the divine master is Sri Radha. If you trace it all back, everyone is taking some crumbs from her table only, extending messengers only. Who's sending the message into the hearts of those who need guidance? Love herself. And someone asked my friend once, or asked about my friend, they were asking, oh, there's this nice Swami, his heart is very good, and his katha is very healing, and they asked their guru, can I go hear from him? And that person said, oh, well, who's his guru? Who's his guru, huh? Like, what's his bona fides? Where's his visa stamp? That's something that has itched me a little while. And I believe that what I would say is within the hermeneutic bounds of legal interpretation. I would never knowingly go beyond the bounds, stretch beyond the bounds into raw speculation. But most of you, I think all of you know me pretty well. I am kind of a wild card. I kind of set my own tone. And I don't mind to be a little creative in how I understand things. So. You also are adults, and you have to decide whether what I say is within the hermeneutic bounds of truth or not. You know, it means legal interpretation. There are limits of how far you can stretch it. So, every morning we sing, Samsara dhara malalida loka Janayaka urna ganaganatam Praptasa kallana gunana vasya Vande Guru Sri Charanarabinda. Many devotees sing, and maybe something they don't know, maybe their diksha relation is broken or hasn't established yet, or like, who are you singing to? Who is Sri Guru before you're initiated, or after? No? After the religious drama. Like, who is your guru? Are you not allowed to sing that song anymore? Is there no shelter, no guide, no merciful deity of grace? So, I say, this whole song, Guru Vashtakam, is for Sri Radhika, in the form of Gadadhar. Therefore, Vande Guru Sri, that Sri has come in the avatar of Guru. She has come doing a special leela. Sometimes she comes as queen, as Sita. Sometimes she's Lakshmi Devi. And she's done very, very special, wondrous pastime. That she is Guru, herself, taking the role of being a teacher. She, Swarup Damodar says, Swabhakti Yoga Lasinam Sadabraje Viharinam Hari Priyaga Nagragam Sachi Sutta Priyeshwaram Saradha Krishna Sevana Prakashakam Mahashayam Bhajam Yaham Gadadharam Supanditam Gurum Prabhum. That best of teachers, that best of gurus and best of masters and shelters, Sri Radha Gadadhar, I worship. Because Saradha Krishna Sevana Prakashakam Mahashayam. She is the one who is revealing the service of Radha Krishna. Everyone else is teacher's helper at best. But she is the one, she is the only one who has a right. No, it's her own secret treasure, this secret service of Krishna. And so, actually, originally, there's no need for anyone but Radhika to serve Krishna. And in Rasa Lila, when Krishna, because he has so much fascination with Radhika herself, she is such an infinite ocean of qualities and expressions and ever-fresh, you know, sentiments, and she's a kaleidoscope of Kila Kinchita Bhav. Sometimes she's turning, she's blushing pink, she's melting like a rosebud, she's soft and tender, and at the same time her eyebrows are scrunching and she's chastising him and waving her finger and she's crying tears of ecstasy and she's shivering and she's telling him, don't touch me, and she's begging to be touched. And he's God himself and he cannot navigate how many waves are coming from so many sides, which way to sail the boat, what do I say, what do I do? He knows everything, all knowledge comes from him, but that ocean of her heart he cannot cross. And therefore, she's so full of ever-fresh desire to please him that in Ras Lila she manifests herself in millions and millions of gopis. Her moods and thoughts and desires to please him, they personify as eternal beings, like an army of angelic goddesses of intimate love. And they surround him from all sides and dance around him. And he's trying to reciprocate with all of them, not because, oh, I want to reciprocate with my devotees, but because he wants to taste the fullness of Radhika's mood everywhere. It's her, like that. I'm every woman. Whitney Houston. It's all in her. It's all in her. There's nothing else that he needs. We are all unnecessary. No? Prahlad and Hanuman and all of, everyone is unnecessary because she is herself the fountain of prema. And all he's interested in is prema. And she has infinite variety in herself. So first of all, she expands herself. There's millions of gopis, thousands and thousands of lovers. It's not that Krishna is not loyal to Radhika. He's completely fascinated and only loyal to Radhika. He has no other concern in the whole creation, but she is expanding herself. Her own cup is so overflowing that she's creating eternal other beings that are one and different from her that can also enjoy their own relationship with Krishna. And she's spreading over as prema, as bhakti shakti. She's filling the hearts of eternal associates and millions of Vaikuntha worlds, and she fills the whole spiritual sky, and she's still not satisfied, and he's still diving in the ocean of her infinite potential of love. And so she, therefore, there's a necessity for the big bang of material creation and the manifestation of unlimited souls like us, so that her bhakti shakti eventually, when we're ripe and ready in our evolutionary journey, can touch us and pollinate us and make us possessed by her. She'll put us on like a glove. And then she will manifest from you a love that Krishna never tasted before. It's her love. Only. She alone knows him and what he likes. She alone loves and controls him. But her heart, because she is love, is overflowing with generosity. That there's a necessity for us to exist so that she may possess conscious beings with new and fresh, in combination with us, new expressions of love. So it's a privilege to exist, that we exist at all, is because she loves Krishna. Every living being is on an evolutionary timeline toward the same center. There's no other center but what her attention is on, and it's him. Every living entity is on that timeline. We don't have to worry about anybody. There's nothing else going on here but them. And she will have her way because she's the Parameshwari. She's the great mover. She's the doer. He does nothing. He's bearing witness. He's bearing witness and trying to keep up and respond. Therefore, he plays the flute and wears flowers in his hair, has a beautiful name like Shyamsundar Krishna Nanda Nanda. He manifests name, form, qualities, and pastimes. He is a person in response to her. She is the genesis of his identity. In her love, he begins to be someone. Otherwise, he's Brahman, he's undifferentiated. But then suddenly there's her, attracted to him and provoking him, and he needs to give her, facilitate her appetite to love. So he's more beautiful, he's dancing, he's doing pastimes, with all these clever things. And here we are existing with all these spinning planets and nebulas and so many living entities everywhere, endless living beings all on the same timeline, just in different steps, moving toward the same center of pleasing Krishna. No? And she's always been, that's always been. It's always been her, having her way with everything. No? In the 108 names of Radhika in the Rasalas Tantra, one of them is Maya. She is Purna Shakti, the total Shakti, the total energy that includes the full spectrum of all Shaktis, including Maya. While we still have a divided mind, when we don't understand Advaigyan Paratattva, that the Supreme Absolute Truth is undivided, we'll think, oh, there's God and there's Maya. There's illusion and there's a problem. We have to cross over. We have to get through this enemy Maya, who's a witch China. That is her. There is one Devi. And she is, because she is the sacred divine feminine, the multiplicity. No? He is the singularity paired with the multiplicity. She's the infinite rainbow of fresh expression. And she is Maya, this whole beautiful Pachamama, this nature, the seasons, hurricanes and devastation, and all this is like the echoes of her moods, of like a moment of sulkiness. Or, you know, like they say a butterfly can flap its wings and there's a hurricane on the other side of the world. No? The way she bats her eyelashes, or does Mon, civilizations rise and fall. No? The ill tilt of the earth. So it's always been nothing else but them. No? Rasalas Tantra, Shiva, he says, Radha Krishna Param Brahman Prakrite Purushaparam. Radha Krishna, they are the Param Brahman. The fire, he's, because all the yogis gather at Shiva's feet. No? And they're like, Brahman, 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 Kaivalyanath, you know? It's the very deep reason why they're attracted to Shiva as the oversoul of all jivas. They want to merge, they want to know oneness. Shivaham, Shivaham, Shivaham. And he's like, hey, Radha Krishna, Param Brahman, beyond Brahman, there's Radha Krishna. If you could just open your mind and reach a little further than this like blanked out haze of oneness that you believe is the answer to the suffering of dualism, you would see there's a divine polarity. Radha Krishna Param Brahman Prakrite Purushak Param. There is a supreme Prakriti and Purush. Dayate Yogivir Nityam Radha Krishna Mayam Jagat. And the real yogis who are dedicated to Yugala, Real yogi means you serve the polarity, the couple, worshipping them, meditating on them as life. Life is nothing but them and their love. It's only for that. It's just super sophisticated. And we're like the outer quantum ring, you know? We're at the outer edge. But it's all just one blooming Anandamayi, Prem Vilas. And so it's always only been that. But samsara dava nalali daloka. When that mercy that we exist inside of their love, consciously or not, there's nothing else going on. When that mercy condenses, supremely condenses. Like there's mercy in the atmosphere, life is divine, but it's like there's humidity in the air, but if it's not condensed enough and you're thirsty, ain't no good. It's freaking humid here in the swamp. No, I see everybody's slick face. It's humid in the swamp, but if you're thirsty, don't do you no good. That there's the atmosphere is full of moisture. It needs to condense. Only when it condenses, people from all over tribes of every culture all over the world, they rain dance, they beg, they make offerings, and they depend on the rain. When the rain comes, life will continue. Life is possible. And if it doesn't come, things are not possible without water. When mercy really, really condenses, samsara dava nalali viloka, into a thick, thick, when it takes shape and form, Vande Guru Sri. Sri herself, Radhika, will become Guru. She will become Gadadhar. And she will teach God himself as a pretext of teaching us. You see, Thakur? This is Radhika's throne. This is Radhika's seat of mercy on earth. This is Radha Gadadhar's place of power and authority. And she has brought her beloved. She's holding her hands like this, giving to us, and holding his hand and leading him into the mystery of what she's giving to him. And he's just like with his hands up. Receiving. He has lost his masculine penetrative will and he's become a feminine receiver, overwhelmed by the tsunami, suprema, that she's pouring out. She's, now we're very lucky because we're born in a time where these secret things are told. Radhika's name is not in the Bhagavatam. If somebody didn't tell you and show you, you wouldn't find it. You know, Sri Gadadhar is hidden behind the veil of the shadow on the moon. If you didn't know, you'd never know. If nobody didn't mercy you somehow. And whoever mercied you would just be a messenger of her. Because it's herself who's teaching herself. She is mercy. And she has decided to give herself, her dasya, her heart, her tadatmya. She has decided to give it. No one can understand. God doesn't understand. He's just sinking in it, trying to understand, and it's overflowing to us. Mahaprabhu kirtana nita gita vadita madhyan manasura sena romanca kampa sruta ranga bhajo vande guru sri charanaravindam. In the beginning of the day, in the darkness, sowing the seed of the new day, we sing all this, you know, who's your guru, who's your guru? I don't know, your guru, my guru. Who is our guru? Who is his guru? Who is Sri Guru? She's dancing because she has finally a very qualified disciple. She's the Mahaprabhu Kirtana Nritya Gita. She's dancing and singing in the form of Radha Gadadhar, Radha doing her guru avatar. As a young Brahmin, Kishore, top knot twisted up with the string of jasmine buds, you know, throwing amazing postures and moving in such a way, expressing such gopi prema that people would get gopi prema just by watching Gadadhar dance. No need for lectures, no need for interpreting the Bhagavatam, no need for anything. Don't even need to chant. Just watch how she dances with her best disciple, Gauranga. He's looking to her and he's trying to sing the verses and she's looking to him from the side, and in the mirror of her bhav, her mood is playing on his face and she's studying herself. In the morning, her sakis and mandris will decorate her and put flowers in her hair, and then they show her a mirror, you know, to see, and she begins to shudder. Remember we were talking about that? She begins to sweat and think, oh gosh, this is so beautiful, Krishna should have it. And when she looks, when Gadadhar looks at the mirror of Gauranga's face, her own moods playing on there, as he's diving in the mystery of feeling vicariously what it's like to be her in love with him, his face becomes a gleaming mirror, and she looks and she's very happy. He got it. Right, but not quite like that. So she sings the verse with a little different inflection, or she dances with a little different mood to lead him by song and by dance deeper into a mystery that he's not able to. God himself can't enter there. We cannot enter there. It's her own mercy. She is love. She is mercy. It's her own sweet will only, ever, for God and everyone else to welcome into the mystery of her heart. And she's dancing. Mahaprabhu here, and singing, teaching him, because knowing through him, because the whole universe is inside of him. Like when Mother Yashoda looked in Krishna's mouth and she saw the planets and herself looking in Krishna's mouth, and she was like, what? Everything is in him. So if he gets it, everyone can get it. There's a big, big kind of shamanic, magical spell going on that she's doing. When God comes into this world, takes the form of a bhakta, he's in solidarity with us, the devotees on the path. He has put himself in a lila of solidarity with us. When will I get Krishna? I feel so fallen. And then she gives her heart to him and makes a bridge through him. He enters in solidarity with her a little bit. And through that solidarity, his empathy with her heart, trying to understand her, his empathy with us by being in bhakta bhav. And she uses him as a bridge to pour into this world the possibility of all jivas entering freely into her sacred heart, into tadatmya with her. Which means to become possessed and to become a new, fresh expression of love for Krishna. Shri Vigrahara Dana Nita Nana Shringartan Mandir Marjanado Yuktasavaptam Chani Unjatopi Vandiguro Shri Charanaravindam. Verse says, oh, I worship the lotus, soft, tender lotus feet, blessed lotus feet of Sri Guru, of Guru Sri, Sri Gadadhar, Radhika doing Guru Avatar, Guru Lila. I worship her because she's Sri Vigrahara Dhananitanana. Sri Vigraha means the deity. She's in the Lila, what is Gadadhar doing while all the, you know, big Nityananda and Advaita and Gauranga, they're dancing, doing anything, and Gadadhar is doing the offering, doing the puja to the deities in the house. They're, the lords are sitting and laughing and joking and tasting rasa, and Gadadhar, like the dark moon, this pulls, the moon pulls the whole tides and ocean. Even when you can't see it in a dark moon like tonight, the moon is just as much pulling the whole tide of the sea around the whole earth. And Sri Gadadhar in the background, moving in the back, just doing the offering, because she is Prema Mahabhava Swarupini. She is the cause and the substance of the love that all of them are tasting in their lila. She's moving their whole conversation, their whole dancing, their boisterous exchanges, while over here ringing a little bell, making an offering, and then serving out to everyone quietly, not saying anything, and serving. It's like the little Brahmin boy, you know? Like in the Indian household, they have like hire a Brahmin boy to be the cook and like the helper. Oh, Santosh, Santosh, where is Santosh? Just like a shadow in the background, the help. Sri Gadadhar, Radha Gadadhar is the help. The help for everyone, helping from the inside. Possessing everyone. Advaita Acharya has his own mood. That's just remnants from the heart of Radhika. Whatever he has, she has more. Nityananda Prabhu, everyone. All devotees, everyone. They have their own eternal mood, but where does all mood come from? And she's just ringing the bell. And Sri Vigrahara and engaging other disciples. It means when the Goswamis were in Vrindavan and finding Govinda, Gopinath, Madan Mohan, all of the pujaris that were sent there to take care of those deities were trained by Gadadhar. Or disciples of Gadadhar. But specifically this verse is saying Sri Vigrahara Dana Nityanana. The Vigraha of Sri, the deity of Radhika, the explicit worship of Sri Radha, the cult of Sri Radha as an open public affair was established on the planet Earth by Sri Gadadhar Pandit. When Sri Gadadhar sent the first deity of Radha ever to be worshipped, ever in the history of the world, to stand at the side of Govindadev. There was never before, when, what's his name, Vajranabha, Krishna's great-grandson, manifested deities, it was Govindadev, not Radha Govindadev, not Radha Madan Mohan, not Radha Gopinath, it was just Gopinath, Madan Mohan, Krishna. That's Krishna's own great-grandson, but he's not Brajabasi. And even among Brajabasis, only gopis know, and even among gopis, is only Radhika's camp that knows. But Radhika herself alone has the right and the power to give her own seva. So the Sri Vigraha Radhan, who gave the Sri Vigraha to the world, to us, the first deity of Radhika, the open worship of Radhika, the cult of Radha Dasya and Radha Upasana, literally started by Gadadhar herself. No one else can do it. Chaturvida Sri Bhagavat Prasadu Sadhana Triptan Hari Bhakta Sangam Kritaiva Triptim Bhajata Sadaiva Vande Guru Sri Charanarvindam. After doing the puja and offering the prasad to the deities, then all the other members of Gauranga Mahaprabhu's parikars and parivar, they're all sitting around in the courtyard, sometimes at Srivast Thakur's house, sometimes at Sachimantha's house, and Gadadhar comes quietly and serving out to everyone, looking at their taking prasad, and just like a mother, especially Bengali mother, really wants to see that you're eating properly. Sri Radhika, now in the mood of that humble background Raman boy teacher, is teaching by example. Feed the devotees. Feed them lasagna. Feed them. Feed them. Love them. Care for them. Carefully. Feed them. Worship them. But it's like a mother seeing, this is prasad. I want your prema to grow. I want your ananda and your ecstasy and your service and your love for Krishna. She's invested in every devotee as much as she's invested in herself, because everyone is her project. Everyone is her means of serving Krishna more. No. When we say that we're part and parcel of God, it's more true that we're part and parcel of her, especially if we have at least the sprout of Shraddha. You are literally part and parcel of her. We are Shakti Tattva. She's the Purna Shakti, all-inclusive power. We're included in her, literally and ontologically. So when she's feeding us through inspiration, through good association, through kirtan, she's making all the arrangements to feed us, feed us. Feed us like she loves us, like she loves herself. And we're talking about self-love, bhakti. Krishna doesn't have a problem loving himself. And we're all included in that. So he doesn't have a problem loving us. Krishna has a healthy relationship with himself and all of his parts. You know, like, you might have to do some work to like talk to your inner child and like make them know they're safe and stuff. Like, Krishna's like every little jiva he sees like that. His own inner child, his own little part that's like, hey, come back. Be whole, be integrated. The more true it's Radhika. She's Chatur Vidasri. What taste she wants to make sure. Are you tasting his Rupa Madhuri? His Leela Madhuri? You know, Guna Madhuri? Venu Madhuri? She wants taste this Bhakti Rasayan. I want you to taste the sweetness of my Krishna. I want you to become mad like I'm mad. I want you to be possessed by an obsession to serve this beautiful boy. If you're not obsessed yet, then taste a little more of this. Look, his sweet flute is really amazing. And do you know how beautiful his form is? How he wears his turban to the side? When he milks the cows and leans against the side of the cow, it pushes a bit and the curls spill out. Have you seen that? If you still have a logical mind, a left brain in your religious practice, I guess you haven't seen that. Here, try this. Shri Radhika Madhava Yorapara Madhurya Lila Gunarupa Nam Nam Pratikshana Swadana Lorupasya Vande Guru Shri Charanarvindam Vande Guru Sri Charanarvindam Vande Guru Sri Charanarvindam Vande Guru Sri Charanarvindam Vande Guru Sri Charanarvindam. Oh, I worship the lotus bud-like feet. My Radha Gadadhar, my Guru. She's my Guru, the Guru of everyone. And I worship her beautiful Gadadhar Rupa. Because she's always tasting the beautiful Leela of Radha Krishna, she's always thinking that and sharing that thing. Sarada Krishna Sevana Prakashakam Mahashayam. Teaching in this form. You know? Teaching in the form like a teacher, like a Guru. And then saying, these two verses come together. Nikunja yuno ratike sida yaya libir yutira pekshaniya
Tatra Tita Shakti Vallabhasya Vande Guru Sri Charanarvindam Vande Guru Sri Charanarvindam Vande Guru Sri Charanarvindam Vande Guru Sri Charanarvindam Vande Guru Sri Charanarvindam.
How is she tasting this? Oh, Radha, Madhurya Leela, Gunarupa Nam Nam, the beautiful qualities of the Madhurya Leela. Tasting and then looking and Shastra saying, Swarup Damodar saying in Gadadhar Ashtakam, oh my Radha Gadadhar, Gadadhar Pandit is very eager to reveal, I am Radha, to show, you know, to remove the veil. I am doing a role, I'm doing a Leela as Guru, but I want you to know and to see and to taste. Nikunja yuno ratikeli, inside the kunja. Mm-hmm. No? Grabbing by the hand those who take shelter of Gadadhar, mm-hmm. Radhika in the hand of Gadadhar, come here and pulling inside of the realm of Bhav. No? And beholding, like this song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Ha Ha Mora Gaura Kishore. He's worshipping his Gaura Gadadhar, and he said, and suddenly I see they become Radha Madhava. Mm-hmm. And they have their dancing and their garlands of Malati flowers are swinging on their necks, and Ananga Manjari is there, and all my sakis, all my girlfriends are there, and we're in the kunja. And this is what happens when Bhaktivinoda Thakur worships his Gaura Gadadhar, so the whole scene changes. The Mangal Arati that he sings every day is just about that. It's like the first line is about Gaura Gadadhar, mm-hmm. and the second half of the line is like their Nadia Purva, Nadia Bhavapur, I forget. Yeah. Before. Their mood before coming to Navadvipa, before being teachers and gurus, they open that immediately. They're so eager, like, yes, we're here to teach you, but to teach you what? Something you need to know by experience. Come in here, into this kunja. And Ati Vallabhasya, who is Ati Vallabhasya? Who is this guru who's so dear to Krishna for the Nikunjas, perfecting Nikunja Seva? Nikunja Yuno Rati Keli Siddhi. Making that Rati Keli, that beautiful, erotic play, sweet, divine, erotic play of the divine couple, making it perfect. And therefore, Ati Vallabhasya, my guru who makes the Kunja Leela so sweet and perfect, is Ati Vallabhasya, extremely dear. We can say, okay, Gurudev, he's very dear to Radha Krishna. No, Ati Vallabhasya means here, in this angle, hermeneutic lens that we're wearing, means Radhika herself is very dear to us, because she herself is showing Manjari Seva, how to make garlands, how to play the veena, how to sing songs. No? She herself, as Gandharvika, like an angel of music, is teaching her friends and those who take shelter of her how to please Krishna. Sing like this, these moods, these ragas. She herself, there in the kunja, in Vrindavan, is also Guru Shri. She's also functioning there personally. She gives her remnant, no, her ornaments and things she gives to her Palyadasis. She gives her own cosmetics and her own room. They wear nothing but her own ornament leftovers and her own bodices and own veils and everything. The flowers from that fall from her hair, they braid in their hair. They're covered head to toe with her remnants. And all of the shining arts of seva that they have, they learn from her. From the inside also, they are ornamented by her. Shidas Goswami has a verse in the Vilakkusumanjali where he says, all these 100 and some prayers, he's crying out, when will I do this service? When will I do this service? When will I braid your hair? When will I wash your feet? When will I go with you to this and that? And he says, and when will you look at me and call me by your eyes away from the other sakis? You will take me away from the crowd and everyone, and you will bring me to a secret cave because you know I'm shy. And you will teach me to play the veena. You are very expert to play this kachapi veena with like tortoise shells on it. No. Radhika plays and sings and stones melt and Krishna melts more. And knowing that this young dasi, this young manjari, maidservant, wants to please Radha Krishna, Radhika says, yeah, the standard for my kunja seva, I will have to teach you myself. So come here. Taking away from the sakis so that when I pluck a wrong string or when I sing a wrong note, the sakis won't laugh at me. So Radhika takes privately, personally, the devotee to a cave and teaches fa la la la, and then you do fa la 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 in the beginning. And in the same way, to understand the bridge is Gauranga's heart, you know. Gurudev would say that Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he's like, he's Krishna, and so he's a great thief. great thief, like in Mission Impossible, you know, dun 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 dun, they like drop in, drop in from the vents, you know, and there's like laser beams and like dogs and like throwing some like sleeping pill to the dogs and dun 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 dun, slipping through and breaking into like the Smithsonian, the finest. You could put on the air.
Windows fine.
Breaks into this some like India's Smithsonian Museum, and there is like Narad Muni's Veena from like 10 million years ago. And can steal it and get back out through the vents and everything with this giant Veena from like Satyuga or something. Amazing thief. Krishna's so good at thieving. No, Krishna stole the heart of the mood of Radhika. No, dun, 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 melting her heart through separation like wax. You know, if you want to read a secret message that's sealed in an envelope with wax, you just hold it over a candle until the wax is soft and carefully open it, take out the message, read it, slip it back in, and close it again. You know? So Krishna, to understand Radhika's heart, he put her in a state of profound separation till her heart melted, and then he entered inside, and he stole one little spark. With one spark, you can light a big fire. He stole one little drop in the ocean of her infinite love. So he could dun 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 dun. He's a great thief. He's a great thief, but he don't know how to play that Veena. You can steal, get in there, you know, and steal the Veena and get it out. Da! You're an artist of thievery, but you have no idea what you're doing with that thing. You have no idea. You can't handle that thing. You have no training in that. Your training is different. Your training is in being Vishay Tattva. Ashray Tattva is. You know how to be the enjoyer. You have no idea how to be the enjoyed. It's the complete opposite of everything you know and everything you are. So Krishna can't do anything with Radhika's bhava. And so, for those souls who are somehow or other, by her causeless mercy, they are hankering, you know, to serve her, to enter into the mystery of her heart, she comes, like she's coming here as Gadadhar, and she's bringing Gauranga. He's the Veena. And she sings a few verses or something, and he begins to cry, and he begins to melt, and it's like training wheels. To understand the mystery of Radhika's heart, Gauranga's handling like one little shimmering drop of the boundless, shoreless, bottomless ocean of her love. He's got one little drop, and that could explode the entire world with ecstasy. And so she puts him in the state of overwhelm, and then she accompanies him through it, and she looks from her side. No? See how I'm plucking the strings? She's not going to say like, okay, so this is my heart and this is how it works. She's going to show, you know, it's all parokshavad, crooked. So you see my Gadaya's like glancing from the side. She's a little tilted like this. She's holding Mahaprabhu's hand and he's tasting something and she's looking at us and she's tilted. She's putting one hand out and she's got a glance to us. Like, catch your hand, come here, understand this. This is not about his seva. Everything is about his seva, but this particular mood is not about his seva. It's about being the guru of her own seva. She has come to be the teacher of what only she can teach. And she's using him as pretext. What is this Gaur Purnima all about? What is Gaur Lila all about? She's making a bridge through him to us. This whole thing, he's just become a puppet. And he's benefiting. Everyone will benefit. Everyone will get the fullness of their true being. And because he's God, he's going to taste the huge premananda vilas. But we are just as included as him. And because she has special loyalty to those who have special loyalty to her, outside of time and space, whether inherent or inherited is a big discussion, we don't know. But in Yogamaya's mind, outside of time and space, Yogamaya knows, and Yogamaya is an aspect of Radhika, knows, who would, if they got the invitation, sell their life at her feet to be her Nitya Sakhi? She knows. And through her messages of Guru Parampara, she has reached across time and space and manifested a Gaur Lila through him, to put the focus on him, and Parokshavad to teach those who would surrender to her. Even before we knew who she was, we didn't even know she knew about us. And she decided in her causeless mercy, in her trans-temporal mercy, to do this Gaur Lila. Use him as an instrument to teach. Use him as a bridge. He's empathizing with her and empathizing with us as a bhakta. Mm-hmm. So Nikunji Yuno Ratikeli Siddhai. teaching, the expertise, perfecting the Kunjalila, and so dear for that. Yes, Gurudev is very dear for that. But Radhika is supremely dear to those who take shelter of her because we're trembling with a desire to serve. We don't know how. And she herself will teach herself. This is how I like, this is how to serve me, this is how to read my signs, this is how to follow my hidden way. And so on and so forth. Saksha Paritena Samasta Shastra. All Shastra says, she is directly the potency of the Lord. She's non different from God. Radhika is God. Yasya Prasada and Bhagavat Prasada. Yasya Prasada Nagati Kutopi. Without her, ain't nobody getting God. Nobody. It's her and her alone who mercies everyone. And if we're lucky, you become a little tadatmic, a little empathically united with her will, like a little stream flowing into a big river, and get moved by her. Then anybody that ever helped us, that's all that was going on. They were getting moved by her. They made themselves available, or they were created in Nityalila available to that. But it's only her. She is the Icha Shakti. She is will itself. And it's her will to deliver us and to guide us and to teach us. And so when we sing in the morning, first thing, we can think about our own guru and the gurus that we've had in our life, the people that have helped us, but we have to know that they're all only messengers. They're gloves on a greater hand. They're flowers of a holy vine who is one. Only Radhika is guru. Only Radhika herself is the teacher of love. No one else knows it. She is the teaching and she is the teacher. So, some thoughts. Vande Guru Sri Charanarvindam. Vande Guru Sri Charanarvindam. Vande Guru Sri Charanarvindam. Vande Guru Sri Charanarvindam. O Sri, O Radhika, you have your own Nityalila, you're fully busy with Krishna, ever fresh services at every moment manifesting newer pastimes to please him, and you could have just been that, and you gave us the privilege to exist. And oh, Shri, you came as Guru in this world, and through Tadatmya you came as my own actual Gurudev also. Gadadhar Shaktyavesha Munatojla Chandrika. My Gurudev is Gadadhar Shaktyavesh, filled and possessed by the power of Radhika in the mood of Guru. Unatojula Chandrika, a moonbeam. That unatojal, supremely radiant ras, that sweet, sweet mellow of divine Eros, a moonbeam from the great full moon of Radhika, one beam fell upon the path of my life in the form of Gurudev. Raga Marga Jagat Guru Vande Gaura Narayana. This is Achincha Beta Beta Tattva also, to see, oh, Gurudev is so merciful because he told me about Radhika and her seva. Radhika is so merciful because she sent Gurudev, and it was her will, and it was her choice to reach out into my life. And Gurudev was just, by his nature of Tadatmya, in agreement to be a glove on her hand, to be a flower of her vine. But who is my Guru originally? There is no question, if we think deeply, who is my Guru? Devi is Guru. Radhika is Guru. There is no other. They're just helpers. Nobody should be confused. Who is his Guru? Who is if you're asking that question, I think you might need some guruing. We need help to understand, and she will help us. Everyone's future is secure, because there's only one central point of all existence. We're all on a timeline, and nobody gets outside of the scope of her will, because she's Parameshwari. So we can rest in peace, the welfare of all our relations and all living beings.
Sure.
Radhika Ranya Jiva ki Shri Radha Gadadhar Pandit Gosai ki Shri Gadadhar Amavasya ki Gadai Gaur Premanande. Can make a AC and we kirtan
just to put a little
Prabhu, would you sing a little?
Sure.
Not so long, but some heartful flower.
Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Shri Vrindavan, Jai
Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam. Yeah. Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe.
Thanks for your patience with the swamp atmosphere. Two atmospheres at once.
I think it's raining.
It's condensed into substantial amounts of moisture.
Takor. So we have some
raining insight too.
Wondrous.